Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series Show. We are live in studio again this week with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones to lead us in a new portion of what it means to be an Omega leader out of her book, Jesus Life Coach. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you, Shelley. Great to be here.
Where are you today, Lori, in the world?
I'm in beautiful Glendora, the pride of the foothills, or something like that.
Is it hot?
It is warm, oddly enough.
Well, it's kind of warm here in San Diego as well, but maybe not as hot as the L.A. area. I'm excited today about jumping into this new book, not a new book, but a new book for us to talk about on the Omega Leader Show, Jesus Life Coach. You wrote that in 2005, 4, 3, somewhere there?
I think 10, 2008 or 9, anyway. One of the more recent, as it were.
It may have been after Four Elements. I can't remember.
Yes, it was.
Okay. Yeah, so it was a little bit later. However, I love, of course, this section on this first chapter that we're jumping into on keeping your focus. And it's been interesting kind of walking around this concept this week out of your book and thinking about it. And so I'm excited to jump in here with you. As fires, we love the word focus, right? I mean, we're all about getting to the point and not wasting time and getting things done. Is that the kind of focus you're talking about here in this chapter?
Well, of course, as a fire, you would love it because the word fire comes from the Latin root focare, which means focus.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm going to chew on that one. I like that.
Yeah.
And we know that this book, again, very similar to the way that you think about teams and about people and about how actually the elements showed up in Scripture as well, earth, water, wind, and fire. You wrote this book as in these four sections of focus, balance, productivity, and fulfillment. And the focus section here that we're in is really symbolic of the fire, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And so in this chapter, you jump straight out into this space with telling us not to lose our focus. And I saw your tweet today about something about giving up. Why do you keep stopping? Or can't remember.
Oh, yeah. If you're tired of always starting over, quit giving up.
Yeah.
I love that.
Wow. That was powerful.
Yeah.
And so that obviously is tied to focus maybe or no?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. I mean, and it was for an ad for some athletic shoe or something. You know, it showed a runner. And the point is that we give up and we lose focus. We focus more on the pain we're feeling than the gain that's to be had. You know, I think it was Paul that said, I run to finish the race, you know, mm-hmm. keeping my eye on the prize. And so if we keep, first we have to identify what the prize is, and then we keep our eye on that. And that's focus.
Right, and you talk about a couple of stories here, jumping into the concept and principle. One was your ability to keep your focus when you were called in. This is a hysterical story, by the way. You were called in early on to, I think, do an interview at a radio station, and you were being met at the airport and realized that the guy picking you up was picking up the leftover authors, not the prime time authors. And it just kind of unfolded from there. I was just like laughing through this whole chapter again about, you're right over there, and then you got to the parking lot, and there was a band sitting up in
Let me tell it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So I'm on this cable show, and it turned out that the woman who was the interviewer was also the camera person and the producer. So imagine, you know, Good Morning America or Matt Lauer, whoever, who asks the question and then has to also run the camera. So she would ask the question, and then she would turn and physically jump up and move the camera to focus on me. And then she would somehow, you know, the camera was going back and forth. Well, in the meantime, this band started practicing out in the parking lot. So I'm talking about the book, and she motions to me to keep talking, and then she lowers herself on and crawls underneath the camera, goes out the door, and you can hear her yelling, "Shut up!" And then she comes back. And meanwhile, I had to keep my eye looking at the camera as if I were talking to her. And meanwhile, she's not even there. She's out yelling at someone in the parking lot. And so it was really funny. It was, you know, how can you not be distracted and get your message out about your book?
Yeah, I mean, that was just hysterical to hear that. And what, you know, what focus that took, especially for you as a wind.
Exactly.
You know, I can't imagine you just sitting there enduring that and not and keeping yourself focused on your content. That is just hysterical.
Well, and I think I tell a story about an unnamed friend of mine who happened to be on the show with me today. Can I tell that story too?
Well, yeah,
about focus. This was when Shelley, DBA Shelley, was addicted to Diet Coke. And so we were walking out of a meeting, and she was carrying a briefcase and all these books, and she had her Diet Coke in her hand. And the sidewalk was cracked, and so, as you remember, you tripped over through no fault of your own the cracked sidewalk. The briefcase went flying. The books went flying. You actually tumbled, and yet when you fell, the one thing that was unmoved was the Diet Coke. Your hair was askew, everything was askew, but that Diet Coke was preciously guarded. And I joked about you met, you know, your core value was very evident there.
Yes, I did. I was remembering that story as I prepared for today. So, yeah, and yeah, so that was some straight up focus right there.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. And then I like how you just jumped right in after that little story to, you know, what are the Diet Cokes in our life? I think that was, you know, a powerful question of the week is, you know, what is our addiction? What is our distraction? What is keeping us from reaching a goal, from writing the book, from taking the hill, you know? That's fire language, I know. And
right.
So the waters that are listening are like, that's not my kind of focus. I don't want to take.
Exactly, yeah.
But, yeah, it's a great question, Lori. You know, just a great a way to think about focus and how we keep it. And then obviously talk to us a little bit about in this chapter you talk of that, you know, no matter what Jesus was doing, Jesus was able to keep his focus.
Yes, and his focus was to give us abundant life. He came that we might have life and have it abundantly, and he was always conscious of the love of his Father and pleasing his Father. And, you know, as we think about focus and how you mentioned the waters are going to be focused on something different, I was looking at a movie trailer the other day, watching a movie trailer, and they showed, it was a sci-fi show, and these people who are on this new planet, they're in a cave, and they hurl this beam of light that expands to it conforms to the size of the cave and moves in a ring of fire. It's hard to describe. You'd have to see it, but it conforms to the cave, and so it focuses on every angle of the cave. It's doing a reading, you know, of life forms. And I think as elementally, we need to remember that when we're sitting around a table, that the waters are going to be focused on how is everybody feeling, you know, is the team together, and the earths are going to be focused on, are we laying down roots, are we establishing structures, and the winds are going to be focused on, let's keep this moving, let's keep it active, we all need to breathe, and the fires are going to be focused on saying, what result are we going to get from being here? So it's kind of like hurling out the knowledge of the elements as far as focus. It's so profound, I believe, because as you hurl things out into the universe, whether it's through a family or a team or a church or an organization, you need to realize that different people are going to be looking at different spots on that focus point. Not everybody is going to be looking where you are, and you want that. You want the earth to be looking at the systems, and you want the waters to be thinking about how people are feeling. And, you know, it's just amazing how the foresight matrix, which I know that you also helped develop, foresight, S-I-G-H-T, there's four sights, four ways of looking at every situation. And we need that in order to see the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
So that focus, I guess, just to round that out, the focus of a leader, I think, is to recognize that there are multiple foci, if you will, to be considered.
Sure, and how does mission play into focus? I mean, you talked about how Jesus knew exactly, you know, he kept doing what he was supposed to do. I look at that as his mission. So how does our mission play into focus? And are we letting down on focus when we're not engaging in our mission, or vice versa?
Well, I think as long as we remember our mission will engage us. If we keep that as our intention, our mission will draw us forward. And I'm thinking about the man, Sergeant Bill Collins, that wrote us a letter. Or I don't know what his title was. I'm sorry, Major perhaps. But I remember, Shelley, how he had gotten his mission statement when we did the training at Annapolis.
Right.
And then he sent an email to us that he had written his mission to administer justice. And he thought, well, and so he tried to do that, whether he was with a group of people or, and then the next thing you know, he's in Afghanistan and he is being asked to head the civil court in Afghanistan. And he said, there I was, living my mission. And then when he sent us the email, he was actually the advisor to the head of Foreign of Veteran Affairs, administering justice for veterans. And so it was amazing. And he said that it just guided him through his whole military career. It was amazing.
Right. Yeah, the power of that kind of focus, intentional focus. I was working with a person today from Ohio and training her in the path for teens. And we get to these junctures in the process of the mission statement, and they're just so profound, Lori, the work that you've done around mission and purpose. And, it's like this compelling drive, to help people understand how important their mission is. And sometimes I'm probably more focused on that than others, but I think that the mission, the individual, like you said, the mission shows up to guide us is a powerful way to stay on focus and to stay on point. And so you have some great question here, at the end here. What are some of the distractions or off-balance maneuvers of other people that are affecting you? I mean, how many times have you and I had conversations with people lately who said, I just can't seem to get this done. I've been working on it for X months or years, and it's just not happening. It's the Diet Coke cans. It's the maneuvering over the broken sidewalks in our lives. It's the bumps in the road sometimes that are detours or distractions. So we've got 30 seconds here, Lori. How do we maintain that focus, to stay on the track that we've been designed to do?
Well, I think first of all, divine connection, that's my main mission, is, you know, plug into God. Hi, God, thinking of you, loving you. Be aware of God in you. And then ask, what is my mission? You know, to know what it is. Jesus was able to say it. And then that empowers you. And then to, 3 times a day, say, do a check. Am I staying focused on my mission? Or am I being drawn into someone else's?
Mm. Wow, powerful. Well, thank you so much. It's been a great 15 minutes with you on these powerful Omega principles and the content that you've brought to us and into our lives. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your day, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right. Thank you, Shelley, and congratulations on kicking your Diet Coke addiction.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.